This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. This video is sponsored by Voxy. Hello and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Jamie Lawler, and making his Blues Focus podcast debut tonight, my dad, Paul Kelsall. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. How are you guys? You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing very good. It's been a long time. I haven't spoke to you since, a couple of hours ago, I don't think. So, of course, in today's podcast, we will be discussing yesterday's defeat to Leicester, 3-0 loss, after many wasted chances. We're out of the FA Cup, but at least we don't have to travel away to Bournemouth if we did win that game. Wasn't the sort of fixture we would have hoped for had we gotten through. Dodged the bullets on that one, really. Let's get started and cracking into this. So who wants to discuss the chances that were missed in that first half? And actually, side point as well, we actually all went to the game yesterday, so this is going to be a proper in detail analysis of that game. So it's a rarity for this channel, I know, but still, who wants to take us up on the chances that we missed yesterday that first half as well?
Which chance, where
do you want to start? Yeah, with all those chances. Yeah, I mean, it was driving me absolutely insane, really. I mean, I've not been that frustrated at a game for a long time, really. I just think there were so many chances, wasn't there, in a short period of time. And you think, well, one of them's going to go in, aren't they? One of those chances at some point is going to go in, and none of them did. Didn't we have like 14 shots, six on the target, and we didn't score any, did we? And that was a Yeah, that was incredibly frustrating, I think, wasn't it? It was a shame, really, wasn't it, that I think we'd have took the roof off the place if we'd got a couple of goals early on. And, frustrating, but, hey, that's football, isn't it? It happens sometimes, doesn't it, as well? There you go. What about you, Joe? What do you think?
Oh, it might be a bit of a delay. Quite a delay, actually. Jesus.
I think it's just saying, I'm all right.
No, you're very much delayed.
Does that sound all right?
Well, we'll drop you out for a second. One second. So it's just going to be me and Dad for a quick second while I get back with Jamie. Carry on talking about the chances whilst I sort Jamie out.
Yeah, that's fine. As I say, I think that first half for a lot of the fans, wasn't it, really? Just you couldn't believe this, just how well we were playing in terms of creating chances to get into the box. And they were like good chances. I think we hit the post. I think the keeper made some good saves. I've watched them back a bit, actually, and they're probably not as clear cut as maybe you think when you're at the game during the day, but you're kind of expecting one or two of those to go in. And in an FA Cup, if you can get ahead against a team that, to be fair, they're a decent side on their Leicester, top of the league and whatnot. Yeah, I think we just got ahead in the game. It could have made a lot of difference, couldn't it? But I suppose the only crumb of comfort that we didn't get through was that, like you say, the Bournemouth as an away tie isn't particularly that appealing, was it, really? If it had been if we'd have got through, we would have played Villa or something. That would have felt like a real missed opportunity. But I was really genuinely a bit annoyed, I think, at the end of the game, as I think Mowbray was, really, about how it sort of then panned out second half. Because you look at that first half, we played really well, loads of chances, and then second half it kind of petered away to nothing again, didn't it? And which was a real shame, I think. Yeah, but yeah, it's one of those, and it's football. It happens sometimes, doesn't it? But there were some positives, and there were some typical Birmingham City kind of chances and opportunities that we seem to have passed up on again. It would have been nice to have a cup run this year, because we haven't had much to cheer about for a long time, have we? We haven't really had a lot to kind of inspire the fans for a while, have we? So it would have been nice to have a bit of a cup run and, you know, kept that run going. But yeah, we'll focus on the league now, can't we? Focus on staying up.
True. Jamie,
how do I sound now? Am I okay? Am I good?
I think your connection is just a little bit delayed, so you're
all right. Good, yeah. Sounds good to me. Yeah, sounds good to me.
I'm good. Okay, beautiful.
Okay, good, yeah.
So well, my laptop decided to open Microsoft Teams at the same time, and it just sent my whole laptop haywire. Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
Yeah, so first half, what can you say? Like, I don't think I've ever said for sake so many times in a 45-minute game of football. Well, I'm literally just looking and I'm going, how are these top of the league? Oh, they have rotated the team, don't get me wrong. But I was like, we're playing fantastic. Like, the one-touch football, the build-up play, everything. Like, Jordan James and Stansfield link up so nicely together. And I'm still now trying to think, like, was it fantastic goalkeeping or is it woeful finishing? Is it a bit of both?
I imagine a bit of both, yeah.
Yeah, the Dembele one at the end of the first half, 100%. You've got to be anywhere but the goalie there. Like, come on.
I know.
Like, the Jordan James one near post, great save. Like, there were some fantastic saves from the keeper as well. It's one of them. Like, we're getting an identity under Mowbray, and the second half was the second half, and we all saw it happening. At half-time, everyone turned around. As soon as you see three Leicester players are stripped at the start of the second half doing a warm-up, you're like, here we go.
It's just happening. Yeah,
I do really think though that obviously it was their changes a little bit. I think that when you've got their players on, because when they bring on quality players, you're always going to struggle a bit. But the fact we lost Ethan Laird, as much as Jordan James and Stansfield have done well, he on that right side, he's like a real a proper Premier League type quality player. 100%. But the fact he comes off at half time injured or particularly just protecting him or whatever, and he's been out, probably suggests why he's not playing at a higher level at the moment, because the qualities are all there to see. It's just maybe his injury concerns are the reason why he's still playing the championship. He's absolutely different gravy, mate. I say he's mint. He really is. He's great. He brings such an energy to the team. So once we had to change it around for him, and fair play to Mark Roberts, I suppose, in some ways, throwing you into a team second half. It's hard work, isn't it? Being a setback. He was out of position for the first goal. There was mistakes in that build-up. But losing Ethan Laird at right back changed everything. Io had to come out to right back. He isn't really a right back, I don't think, is he really? And I felt for him a bit. He's getting mullered then when he's second half. And I think that really kind of put us on the back foot a little bit once we lost Laird. I think that was a big change for me, really. It was such a shame.
I'm willing to forgive the Laird substitution if it means I get the fit Laird for West Brom.
Yeah.
Which is what I like. If Drama is out injured for a while, and Laird is our only right back, I completely understand having to take him off, because he's got 45 minutes in him, great 45 minutes. Why get him to push himself to his limitations when you've got West Brom coming? Like, we want to focus on the league at this point. Let Leicester do what Leicester do. That's fine. Enjoy your day out in Bournemouth, whatever. Enjoy your 9-hour journey there and back.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it, really? Because Mowbray, after the game, he says that he was disappointed with how the subs had come on for us, because he wanted them to come on and make an impact, bring us a bit of energy and do that. And nowadays, I keep saying this, when you've got five subs, chances are you can change almost half of the outfield players, can't you? So you want those five players to come on and really leave, empty the tank, leave nothing out there. But it kind of didn't work, did it? It just disrupted everything, and I really don't like it when we go to almost four out and out attacking players at the end. It's just, football don't work like that, does it? Because if it did, we'd all start that way, wouldn't we? So it just all looked disjointed at the end, and I felt like Leicester could score at will then, and that was...
Which they kind of were doing.
Yeah, it did, and it flattened the game out, didn't it? Because what had been an exciting first half, the second half, they score almost straight away from the kickoff virtually, and then... we're on the back foot the whole game, then, aren't we? I just genuinely couldn't see us getting our way back in anywhere at that point.
Yeah, Vardy's ruled out goal looked onside as well.
He was onside. I've watched it back. He was 100% onside.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't be surprised at any of that. Yeah, again, but as I say, once we'd made changes, they'd made changes, the game slipped away from us, didn't it? And I was saying it half time to you, wasn't it? I just felt like our chance in the game had gone, hadn't it? I just really felt that. And, a shame, really. But yeah, I suppose, like I say, he's cup football as well. And Jamie's right. I think if it leaves us with a fit Ethan Laird for remaining games, then you know, more the better, really. So yeah, good man management, I think, from Mowbray on that one.
Yeah, I can't begrudge it. Like the subs, I think the thing that pisses me off about the first goal more than anything is one was Roberts. I don't know why Roberts is in the center of the park, by the way, in the midfield, but that happened. The fact is, when you've got Christian Bielik and Mark Roberts as your centre half, Jamie Vardy in no way in hell should be getting a free header. You have two ginormous centre halves in the box there. Vardy should not be getting a free header 6 yards out. He's a Premier League finisher, and he showed
he is,
he had his first real chance he had, and he put it bottom corner. Rudy's got
The delivery was beautiful, though, wasn't it? He put it right on his head in between the two centre-backs. And then, to be honest, he don't miss, does he, from there? But if you think about all the chances we missed in the first half, you know, we need somebody who's a clinical finisher like that, you know, and they're tough to come by, aren't they? And Jamie Vardy, obviously, is a, you know, he's an international player as well, wasn't he? And he's been scoring the Premier League for fun for years, hasn't he? So, yeah, it's a shame. But somebody in the comments said that, obviously, he made good subs against Hull, which I absolutely agree. And I think that's what you want in the modern game, isn't it? If you can make those changes, you bring on five players, they can turn a game round. And those three that Leicester made, Jesse, definitely made a difference to them, that's for sure.
I mean, let's be honest, they're going up. It's that simple. Like, Leicester are going to be going back to the Premier League. And you can see... I mean, that weren't even their full squad, was it? Like, I don't think Madibidi played, and Didi wasn't there. Like,
Mavrodini and the left wing as well, he was missing, wasn't he? Yeah. So I think from Leicester's point of view, they'd made 10 changes, hadn't they, for the game. So, but that's what I'm saying. That's where we had a sort of a window of an opportunity to do something, and we kind of didn't take it, which was, a bit frustrating for me, that we didn't take that chance. But
yeah.
It is nice being frustrated leaving a game, though, in the terms of going away from a game going, we did all right there. Like, we did, first half was fantastic. Whereas in days of old, we used to go in, we clung on there, didn't we? Until we gave up, really.
I think the thing is, though, with some of the chances we did miss, the ones that we had on target against lower league teams, we're going to score those ones. Like, I think the keeper had a bit of a blinder, to be honest. I can't remember his name. And I'd probably butcher it as well if I try and pronounce his name. But yeah, I think he was on form, got down to a lot. I think it was the Keshi Anderson one that was the most impressive one, because it was back across the way that the ball had been coming, got a good left hand to it and made a good save. I think the Dembele one's a good save as well, because it's a terrible finish from Dembele, don't get me wrong.
Massive.
Yeah, I just think that it's like it's in that sort of awkward gap between him, really, and the floor, really. So. I really love
Dembele. I think he does bring some really exciting stuff to us, but he can be a little bit frustrating at times. But I guess that
all
kind
of player, be, I think.
Yeah, I suppose at times that those sort of players can be a little bit frustrating, can't they? Because you're waiting for a bit of magic, and sometimes it don't come, does it? And I don't think he's like a clinical finisher necessarily, but he's an exciting young player, and he's perhaps not young so much, but he is an exciting player, that's for sure.
He's a spark, isn't he?
Yeah, you always want a player like that in your team, don't you, really? Somebody who can do something, a little bit unconventional, a bit different, beat a player, and he just needs the finish on the end, but
Big positive I took from yesterday is now I've seen it in the flesh myself, Bielik at centre-half might be a masterstroke. He was, in that first half, DK Vardy, nothing, not a sniff. Like, I think Bielik could be incredible there.
Do you see what Mowbray said, though? He felt as if maybe he could... I don't know, was it Mowbray said? He felt like he could be a sort of our John Stones, player that can play at the back, but then he can step in and play in midfield. And I thought he's already seen the game in like a slightly different way. He's seen the players differently, isn't he? He realises the midfield's the issue, really. And I know people have got, questions about centre-halves and the defence and etc. But I think he's got a point, really. I think, centre-halves need to just do the job like Long does. Mm-hmm. If you're asking him to do other things, I think that's where you overcomplicate. But it's the midfield where we've had a lot of issues for a long time. And maybe Bielik dropping back into a more defensive place and he can play from there. He can see the game in front of him. I think that gives us maybe a bit more of an assurity. I think that's good. And I think you're looking at the potential incomings. I think he's looking at midfield as being one of the priority areas, isn't he?
I mean, yesterday was... night and day, wasn't it? If you can, let's just take two of our midfielders for example. So you got Jordan James. I thought he had a great game yesterday. I think he tried his best. He did everything he could on the ball. He's trying to make runs. He's classy touches and stuff. Ivan Sundrić, bless his heart, he will run around for 90 minutes and he'll try his best, but he's not got it in possession. And then you look at their midfielders, and that Pret, what that Belgian lad they've got in the middle, that little lad, absolutely tore us apart. He was just unbelievable, and that's the quality they've got. Because when you look at Jordan James, are practically trying to run that middle at the end because they took everyone off and they left JJ in the middle. Tyler Roberts is trying to play right wing back at the end of the game, and you just saw what is going on here. Like, Porky, yeah, trying to run. Like,
I mean, Jordan James in the midfield for me, I mean, you know, he's just going to get stronger and stronger, isn't he? Because he's still a young lad, really, he's still learning. You know, but he's obviously got a lot of power, and you know he's going to get stronger in there as well. But he needs some help in there as well. And Sunjic, for me, you know, somebody's asked whether what they thought of him being captain. I when he went on loan to Hertha Berlin and had issues there, I had a feeling that we'd probably never see him in a blue shirt again, to be honest. So the fact he was the captain yesterday, you think, you know, that's like a bit of a redemption, isn't it, for Sunjic to go from someone who was loaned out, had a poor time, comes back, ends up as the captain. I think that's fair play to him. But a player like Sunjic, he's just always going to give you everything he's got. You know, he's just never going to, like, give up on things. And it takes all sorts, doesn't it, in a team. You do need players who are going to literally give you 100% every single game. So I like Sunjic. He's got his limitations, hasn't he? I think everybody knows that. You know, he's not going to always be like a silky passer of the ball. Takes too long, gets caught on the ball. All of that is true of Sunjic. But you got to love him, though, as well. You know, I think he's great. I absolutely love everything about him.
I love him. My only gripe with Sunjic sometimes, and he's, don't get me wrong, is he ever going to score a screamer? It's very rare. It's once every 2 years, if that. But when he's got the chance, he needs to stop side-footing it and just put his laces for it, man. Like yesterday, he fouled him 30.
I feel that way about a lot of players.
Finesse it. And he side-footed it straight into a centre-back, and I was like, please, just put your laces for it.
We chat about that a lot, don't we, really, Tommy? We talk about, like, you know, things in modern football. There's a lot of side foot shots go on nowadays, and you're just hoping that somebody at some point is just going to absolutely sort of thunder.
Sandsfield just absolutely wellies half of them. Sandsfield, if you watch his goals, he's just thundering it. He doesn't care. He's putting his laces through and he's going at the keeper.
That's why I was a little bit disappointed in him yesterday, because he's shown that sort of striker's finishing when he's clean through on goal. I just didn't really see it from him yesterday. Maybe he choked a little bit, but... Yeah, I mean, there's a few other questions coming into this. Try and move the conversation forward into the West Brom game, but also the new signings that we're being rumoured with. Obviously, the Korean international is pretty much coming in. He's been seen at the Blues women game today. Alex Pritchard as well has also been linked to come in with Blues. There's a few other players as well, but also have Jordan James got a few links now as well. So, I mean, what's the what's everybody's thoughts on that?
Do you want to go first, Paul?
Don't mind you, yeah. No, we need players, don't we? There's no question about it as well. It depends what we're doing. Whether we're going to, you know, do more business in January and then obviously whatever. Or we're going to do less business in January and more in the summer. But one way or another, there's going to be some changes to that squad. There's no question about it. You can see it in Mowbray yesterday at the end of the game. You know, he knows the squad needs freshening up. He wants to take things in a different direction. You can see where he's trying to go. But we're going to need new personnel. That's absolutely sure. And I think the link with Pritchard's an interesting one. And obviously, I think the signing of Pak Sohung. I can't say his name, but I'll learn it, obviously. I've got a colleague actually at work, and she speaks Korean, so I'm going to run it past her and get the right pronunciation.
Get the proper pronunciation, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, because we've got to do that. Yeah, Pak Sohung. Yeah, I'd say for me, Pritchard and him, potentially could be like two tens, couldn't they? And I think Mowbray quite likes that two tens thing, doesn't he? So I think we will see some changes, but all of those signings that have been sort of linked so far, you're thinking, yeah. And obviously, you've got to remember, we've already got Dazelle through the door, who potentially, you know, left-footed central midfield player. And that's an area I think he's focusing on to get us a bit stronger in there, to make us more creative, get us on the front foot playing forward. Yeah. So, yeah, I would say so far, I'm pleased with who we're being linked with. I think it's positive. It's exciting times, isn't it?
And I think, yes, in an ideal world, he's got Bakuna fit as well. And I think Bakker slips into that middle if we need. I mean, we all know he's great on the left wing, but we all know that Bakker, if you need a silky passer of a football, and I know he's frustrating at times, but my God, that man can pass. Yeah. Inside of the boot, outside of the boot, his range of passing is filth. And Pritchard, I'd love to have Pritchard. I think he's class. And I mean, everyone's been tweeting today and they're saying he literally told Sunderland yesterday he doesn't want to be selected anymore and he wants to leave. So
sat in the news, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Again, he's one of those, you know, are we going to do that business in January or do we wait for the summer? But, you know, for me, it looks as if we're going to do it now. So you would hope that we'd get that one over the line because, you know, he brings a bit of experience in there as well. And I know we've focused more on younger players for the future. That's fine. But you need a combination of both. And Pritchard, you know, I don't know how many games he's played in the Championship, etc. But he's been around, he's played a lot of games. You know, he'll bring a bit of experience to the team as well. And I do think we need a bit of that. It's certainly in midfield, we do.
And someone like a Pritchard nurturing a Jordan James is going to do nothing but benefit the way JJ plays. When you've already got class in that midfield, let's be honest, I think Koji Miyoshi is arguably one of our best players. His technical ability on a football. I think if you get Koji playing off Pritchard and then this new signing coming in, there's three number 10s there.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
We are quite overdone on that though, aren't we? So we've got that guy coming in, Sung Ho. We've also got Pritchard. We've also got Roberts as well, Tyler Roberts. Mm. We've got Koji Miyoshi. You know, I think, Mowbray's having a rethink and maybe going forward into the summer transfer window, it might be like players like Roberts who maybe sort of drops out of the team or...
It's funny, isn't it, really? There seems to be a lot of people that seem to be quite down on Tyler Roberts, really. And, you know, I think you got to remember, really, is that, like, he's not fit, is he, really? I mean, he's working his way back to fitness. And then even when he's been out alone in recent years, he's suffered injury problems, hasn't he? So he doesn't look fit to me. But I think he's working his way back to fitness. But actually, there's a player there, isn't it? You know, there is a player there. You know, if he can get back to his fitness, that's, I suppose, a big if, isn't it, really, on a player like Roberts. But if he can, I think he would bring something to the squad still. But what Mowbray thinks, I don't know. And that's the only problem we're talking about individuals, isn't it? You don't really know the inside track on what Mowbray wants to do. And so I guess we'll kind of have to just trust Uncle Tone on that, won't we?
Roberts yesterday impressed me. Like, I know, like you said, he definitely isn't fully fit, and you can see that. But the little touches he had, and like the way he turned yesterday, and there was two players on him, and he'd like a little 1-2 with his feet and flicked it back to Ira right back. And I was just, them little things where you're like, no, we've got a player there. Yesterday, I know we were 3-0 down at this point, so it's a moot point, as they say. But he made a run yesterday, like a sideways on run. And if someone had looked up and seen it, he's four on goal because he's ran directly in between the centre backs. He's got 10 yards of space either side. And you even saw him look up at the guy. He's like, guys, like, play me through. So there is.
What player he is, I'm not entirely sure. You know, I'm not as clued up maybe on the where the players are going to be. He doesn't look like a winger to me. He would look like a player who played in the 10 or in a, like an inverted to inside. Yeah. He's not a player who's going to be. He's got no real pace, has he? Which does bring me to the other side of the pitch with Burke when he come on that left side. I just wonder about Ollie Burke because, I mean, he went to Werder Bremen for like £13 million, didn't he? When he traveled. I just wonder what people saw of him when he was younger. I'm not entirely sure because certainly at Blues, I've never seen anything that I could remotely see that he brings to anything. He doesn't seem to be a centre forward. He's no good in the air. His touch is poor. He's meant to have like unbelievable pace and be able to beat players, but then he can't cross. And I don't want to be unfair on Ollie Burke because maybe there's something about him, but I've not seen. But from what we've seen, I just don't know what he brings to the squad
I think West Brom and other clubs have found that out with him as well. They've had difficulties getting him into the team and where he plays and everything.
Is he a winger or a forward? And same with Roberts a little bit, isn't he? You know, is he a forward? Is he a wide player? I don't really know what these players are.
I'm trying so hard.
You're diplomatic, Joe.
The only thing Oliver Burke beat yesterday was the fucking byline three times. He beat the touchline. That was about it. My God, don't get me wrong. All is forgiven. Right, if Ollie Burke comes on next week against Baggies and Bags in a 1-0 win, all is forgiven because I will die because they hate him so much at the Albion. It's painful.
Yeah. They called him this worst ever signing, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, what does he offer? Does he have raw pace? Yeah. I mean, you can see that. But it's like his brain to leg delay is there. It's like he's got lag in his own body because he takes about 4 seconds when he's got the ball to think what he's got to do next. And it's just like, you should be natural for someone because he has gone for a lot of money and he's played for Scotland. Like, this guy is he has played internationally for his country and he scored for him, I think. I mean, it's only one, but he scored for him. So, like, you can't deny that this man... There's got to be a footballer in there, and it's never worked for him, and I don't know why.
Well, people in football, you know, they know their stuff, don't they? So somebody at some point has seen something in him as a young player to take him for big money. You know, they're not completely, unless there was some sort of deal going on in the background that you don't know about. But you wonder, don't
and
you?
And a few, if that's the case.
Yeah, but he's never really done anything anywhere he's gone, has he, really? And when he signed in the summer, you think, oh, it'll happen for him here. But to be honest with you, I just can't even see what he brings to the team at all. Maybe he struggles with that himself. Maybe he wonders what sort of player or what he's been asked to do. I mean, he put him on the left wing yesterday. And he's got a bit of raw power, hasn't he? And you see him break past the player at one point, and then he goes past the player, doesn't get the cross in. You think, oh, he's won a corner. Oh, no, it's a goal kick.
To be fair, I will back him 1,000,000% on that one. It was a corner because I was directly in eye line with that. I was right. in eye line with that, and he slid in and won the ball. There was a side
Jack
tackle.
Me and he says, yeah, goal kick, Lillies.
I hate it when Jack's... Because, like, this shit, when Jack's, like, all diplomatic about it.
And he goes...
It's worse when he's most diplomatic because he's always on the referee's back, and when he's like, yeah, it's goal kick. It's like, don't you start now, honestly.
You know the one at Stoke when Stansfield, he seems to come off it. I'm going crazy. I'm going, that's a corner. It's got to be a corner. And they watched it back on the vlog and they go, oh, no, it was a goal kick.
That was a goal kick, yeah.
good ref, actually. Fair point.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. Well, yeah,
that's the thing. You're so right about Oliver Burt, because he's got so many attributes that you kind of look at him and you go, has he got a good jump on him? Hell yeah. Have we seen him flick on a lot of headers, actually? Yeah, has he got pace? Yes, has he got power? Yes, and I mean, there's been snippets under Rooney, Ipswich. Yeah. That 70 minutes he played against Ipswich, he was unbelievable when he high pressed with Hogan and he was at him all game, and him and Stansfield, and he didn't give him a prayer. Like, there are things in there where you go, actually, he can be, but if you want to be a progressive team, in my opinion, he can't be near the starting 11. I'm sorry, but he just.
I wonder whether Mowbray might actually, you know, terminate the loan. You know what I mean? On that, and will he have bravery to do that? I don't know. You know, I don't. Is that a good look for a team to be doing that? But maybe we need to. Maybe we need to
bring him another loan, though. If you can get rid of him and bring another United loan, do it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's looking at the Palace player, isn't he? You know, the young lad at Palace.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, done well at Charlton, hadn't he? And so and whatever. So maybe that's it.
We might be panicking for a right back at this rate. We don't know if Drama's injury is big or not. Like, Drama's missing from the squad is a panic station for me, because I love Laird. Like we've all said, we love Laird, but there's a high probability that Laird might pull an injury. But Backer's got a bruise on his knee, and that's what he said, I think.
True, yeah. I was going to say, the other way, play Bakuna. He's played every position apart from goalkeeper, hasn't he, this year, Bakuna?
just putting that. If we go through the level of the game.
He might have been better choice than Roberts at that place, I think.
Well, let's talk about the Albion game, because obviously big news today, obviously, with all the stuff kicking off in the Wolves game. Obviously, we can't go, unfortunately, because of the ticketing thing that happened when we're trying to buy them. But let's talk about the Albion game and what we can expect from it. And I mean, I personally think if we play the way that we did in the first half against Albion, the way we did against Leicester, we'll win that game pretty comfortably, really, because I think it's one of those things, though, because, like, obviously we didn't go to the whole game, but what we heard was that we were pressing very well. We played brilliantly against Stoke. We were very much in possession in the first half. We had control of the game and sat back really nicely. And there was glimpses of that against Leicester, but obviously Leicester are a much better team than Stoke are. So, you know, they took us to the sword in the second half. I think they managed the game better than we did in the end. Mm-hmm. But really, I think, we play like that against the Albion and they were poor today. I think they're going to be a bit wounded by that as well, really. I think it was their sort of opportunity to get one over the Wolves after being at the Premier League for quite a while. I don't know. I feel confident about it. I feel confident about the team at the moment anyway. I was really confident we were going to beat Leicester. If we found the fucking back of the net, I would have been really optimistic about it. But I don't know. I just think we'll do well against them.
I genuinely think we can get at them. I think the worst thing that could have happened to us today was Wolves beating them, because we're going to have a very pissed off Albion next week. But I think Mowbray's
pissed
also,
off Albion.
Well, no, but do you know what I mean? Like, they're going to be up for it now even more, because they've just lost one derby. Their manager's going to go, you can't lose two on the bounce here, lad. Like, you've got to get out of these.
I think it's going to be chaos.
I think Mowbray's going to put a rocket up their ass this week for us. And I think they're going to be getting a rocket up their ass at our end as well. And I think it is just going to be an end-to-end. It's going to be like a ping-pong match next week. I fully expect it to just be absolute chaos.
Hopefully,
either end. I think that could benefit us. I think Ethan Laird might have a fun time up on the right. From watching it today, their left-back loves to push forward. And I think against a Laird loves to bomb forward as well. So I think it's going to be,
Yeah.
Well, I think it'll be fiery, won't it? There's no doubt about that. It's going to be an intense game, isn't it? I mean, like you say, on the back of getting beat by Wolves, they're going to be a bit wounded. We've just got knocked out by Leicester, and obviously Mowbray's trying to give them a bit of a rocket as well. But honestly, we need to get some wins. And I know we get everyone saying, you know, about the season, but we are still sort of like looking over our shoulder a little bit. So we need a couple of wins, and it's wins we need. And if we want to be serious about those things, we've got to go to places like Albion and expect to try and get something, haven't we? You know, I'm always happy with something away from home. I would always, you know, go on that. I would say if you can get something, that's good. But then you've got to win your home games. The way we've been this year, we've looked never certain about any of those things at home. We've not been great away. We've been poor. So, yeah, I don't know. I was a bit pessimistic on the way back yesterday. I probably lightened my mood slightly a little bit now. So, but that is a tough game on Saturday, by the way, because they're a decent side. That Corberan's a decent coach. They've got some good players there as well. They've been through a bit of a poor time, and especially off the pitch, they've had a poor time. But I think we need to be careful about that as well. You can't go gung-ho against that, because I think we could end up getting turned over, and we need to be careful about that. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit mixed about it. I think if we got a draw at this point, you'd go, decent point away from home. Let's move on to the Sheffield Wednesday game. And that's a game then you should be targeting to go and get something from, shouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing is the Albion, though, they haven't conceded that much this season as well. Obviously, they are in the playoffs and everything, but I think one thing that we can bank on, though, is the fact that we're good on the counter-attack. And I just think with Stansfield going forward and, you know, the way we play and everything, it would just brighten the mood up as well. I think we're up for it as well, though, that's the thing, because we're on 35 at the moment. 32 at the moment. We can go on 35 if we win, which would only be then 10 points off West Brom, who were sat in fifth. So, really, it's one of those, really. I feel like we'll be up for it.
All of those teams are very close, though, aren't they, in points-wise? You know what I mean? You look all the way up the table, apart from the very top and the very bottom, there's not a huge amount of difference between those teams. Anybody could beat anybody, that's for certain. But again, that's what I mean. You know, it wouldn't be inconceivable if we went there and got beat by Albion. I don't think it would be the end of the world, necessarily. It would feel like it, wouldn't it? Because we want to go and win games, but... Yeah, I think those teams are quite close, really. I just think we just need to be careful, because we just need to get some wins on the board. And I'm sure we will. You know, I'm sure we will. But when I look through the fixtures, it looks tough run, really. You know, Sheffield Wednesday away, then we go to Borough at home. And you know.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Every game brings its challenge, doesn't it? So, fingers crossed we'll get some wins on the board sooner rather than later, really. We don't want to leave it later in the season to have to start winning games, do we?
I think we'll be okay. I do. I think... I've said this last year to Tommy as well, especially on these podcasts, where I was like, right, we have consistently finished 17th or below for the last 8 years, right? This is now arguably our most technical and best squad when they're fit. Like, and when we've got our fully fit 11, I genuinely, apart from Leicester maybe, I don't see a team that should trounce us, because our fittest, best 11 is really good. Really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've got good players, haven't we? There's no question. But I mean, like Mowbray said at Stoke, you know, once we were two up, we then revert to type, and we start dropping off, and we're trying to hang on, you know. And to be fair to Rooney, he said the same things. He said you've had years and years where you've just tried to grind out things, you know, snot and guts, I think he said, is how we play. But Mowbray said we reverted to that against Stoke, and he wasn't happy about that. He thought that was like, we just invited so much pressure. And to be fair, Stoke played pretty well, I thought. I didn't think we actually played that well at Stoke, if I'm honest. So I think we need to be careful about just trying to grind through games, because that will come and bite you on the arse, I'm sure of it. You're just trying to hang on for 70 minutes of a game. I just don't think that's the right way, not in this league. You need to go and win the games, don't we?
I mean, how funny of an old game is football, though, eh, lads? Like, and I agree. I think it was two fantastic goals against Stoke, don't get me wrong. But I think apart from that, we defended for our lives. And then we go to Leicester and we have the 45 minutes of our life and can't put the ball in the back of the net. I had just football is such a mental game, isn't it? It's just like, come on.
I don't know why it is like that. But honestly, I just think, though, like, we're on a bit of a good form. I think if we do win, and perhaps even convincingly, then I think it will start to show the sort of strengths that we have. I think the weaknesses we have is consistency, because you consider like how many injuries we do get. It kills all the form and all the flow, doesn't it? So it's like you say, Jamie, when we are fully fit, we're doing fantastically. But also, like you say, Dad, when we've got so many injuries, it flattens the mood and everything. And like Ethan Laird yesterday, had he not been injured and didn't have to go off for a precautionary reason, I think we'd have pushed on in the same vein, really. I know that Leicester would have probably still come on as strong as they did, but I definitely think we'd have had more chances, because he just sort of, like, that right-hand side was just not used in the second half at all, if anything. It was all down the left-hand side. So it's really that we need those, the things that are working in the first half, like against Leicester, we need to take those into the West Brom game. We need to stick to them as well, because we can't be, say exactly the same thing happens against West Brom. We need to keep on going down the same routes that are working for us, because it's up to West Brom to try and stop it then. Do you know what I mean? Rather than them trying to change up the tactics and everything.
Yeah, we need to take the games of teams, and that's exactly what the club's asking of the managers now, isn't it? We can't be a team that goes and worries about what you're there and try and play against. We actually need to take the game to people. And I think that is they keep saying it's no fear football or something. But I think it's got misinterpreted a little bit. It's like a clumsy phrase. But really what they're trying to say is that we need to go to places and say, all right, we're coming to West Brom. Well, we're coming here to win the game. You know, we're going to take it to you. Can't just sit back all the time and just try and grind out a 0-0 or something. We're just not going to be able to do that. But talk about consistency. That's the big issue for lots of teams in the Championship. It's such an even division. It's hard to go on runs where you are consistent. I think only Leicester, really, are a team that have been really consistent, haven't they? You know, Leeds have had ups and downs. You know, other teams have had ups and downs. So consistency is always going to be difficult in a league where your teams are quite similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've only lost four times this season, only three draws. So, you know, they are easily the best team in the Championship. I mean, like Ipswich as well, though, like, you consider, are they on a bit of a slide as well? They lost in the Cup yesterday to Maidstone. They've had a few ups and downs. They're sort of in and out of the second place spot quite a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
But that's why I think that, I just feel like there's an opportunity for us to capitalise, and, you know, West Brom and teams like that, you know, we've got, it's a tough run of games, like you say, but also at the same time, you know, West Brom, we've beaten them earlier in the season. Sheffield Wednesday on a terrible run of form, you know, they have been all season. Blackburn are Blackburn, so they can be up and down. Sunderland, you know, having a bit of a thing at the moment with Michael Beale. Is it Michael Beale?
Yeah, that's right. Not Ian Beale. How much would Mowbray
love to get one over them as well? How much would that mean to Mowbray?
Look at those three teams, Jay. He's got Albion, Borough, and Blackburn are all playing against. They're all his former teams. He's going to want... Oh, and Sunderland as well. Yeah, of course. Cool. So all those teams, you're going to want that, you know, but...
And the thing is, the league is that tight. Even if you don't win all them games, let's say, for example... Just if I'm being optimistic, let's say 8 points out of the next four, so two wins, two draws, you're pushing mid-table at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got where we are now. We're pushing like 11th, 10th. We're laughing.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the way to get draws is to take the game to them. We went to Norwich away and Eustace was there. You know, nothing against John Eustace. I think he's gone and thought, you know, we'll try and get something from the game. But the way he's approached it is by to say, let's just try and shut up shop and come away with something. And
yeah, that game was
turned over, haven't we?
That game was a turning point, yeah. Because honestly, like, I remember me and you, Jamie, were on the podcast the week before, and we were saying 4-2-3-1, get at them and put the game to them. And then he gets beat. And then in the next two games that against Huddersfield and West Brom, he does that, and they go and absolutely fucking tramp them.
Norwich game, I think the Norwich away game is what cost John his job. I genuinely do. I think the board turned around and went, nope. They watched Watford away, where we lost 2-0. Don't get me wrong, we didn't concede till the end of the game, but they watched that, the way we set up against them, and then he's probably watched Norwich away and gone, what are you doing?
he didn't do himself any favours with that approach. Yeah. You know, it's about mentality, isn't it? You know, and I think we've had like now over a decade of a mentality where we're just trying to survive. We've got to change that mentality around. We've got to say, actually, we're a decent football club, decent players. We're going to have to try and go and win football matches. And that's the change that I think John Eustace misinterpreted. I think he thought, yeah, we'll just try and drag ourselves through the season again. And I think they're just thinking, no. I mean, it turned out, actually, the way that they did it, you know, like I've always said, I think the timing was wrong and I think the choice was wrong. But I still think they still believe in the way they want to take things forward. And I think the Saints and Mowbray, the same thing. We've got to go and try and win football matches. It's as simple as that.
And I mean, how likeable is Mowbray as a manager? I love him. Like, I watched his first interview and I was like, this is, you can just see, I said this last week and I told me he's a proper, you can see he's a working class man. He gets the club. He understands it. He just knows what it's about. Like, and he just,
he's one of our best appointments in a long time. Yeah. He's just connected. He's easily to connect with. You know, he's a reliable manager. He's a nice guy. And he's a decent manager as well at the same time. It's not one of those managers who are like, you're taking a chance on if you put him in charge. You know you're going to get results out of him. You know what you're expecting. Because he's experienced and everything. And that's what we need at this point in the season, really. And I mean, he's what? By the time he comes to the end of the season, he's probably got a year and a half left on his contract or whatever. But like, he's still going to do loads of work with us. You know, he's going to be fantastic. Yeah.
Let him have, let him have it.
He's a likeable guy, and he's a real person. He's a genuine guy, so I think you're always going to warm to that, aren't you? And tells it like it is, and you know, you can't want more than that, can you? Someone's going to say, "Yeah, this is how it is." And like yesterday, he looked a bit annoyed to me. I thought after the game, I thought, "Yeah, I like that. That's the kind of attitude you want, rather than oh well, it's only the cup. We, you know, they're a good side, the top of the league." He's like genuinely, "I'm a bit annoyed actually. We should have won the game."
And well, I like that. Everybody felt that, didn't they?
Going from the last manager. Going from Pooney, who he had before, when he was just outing every player like no tomorrow. And I had a manager who, even the way he worded it yesterday, when he said like an individual mistake has cost us, but that's football, and it's all for the rest of the team to get back and cover that mistake. Whatever, like that, you have said, look, we all know who made the mistake here. We all know who the bollock up was, but I'm not going to sit here and out him on the camera. He knows he's made a mistake. I've already spoke to the team. It was literally just going, he's not good enough. He's not good enough. I wanted to take all 11 off at halftime because they're crap. And it's just like,
I know, yeah. They're saying it how it is, and then there's just calling people out. That's really like the two differences between Mowbray and Rooney, really.
It's man management, that though, isn't it? It's about dealing with people, isn't it? I think if you're gonna, like what Deeney did at Forest Green, you know, he's frustrated. He's let his frustrations get the better of him. He's gone straight to a media interview. But you know, who wants to work for a boss that does that to you? You know, you're dealing with people, aren't you? And everybody else thinks, well, it could be me next, couldn't it? I'm in the firing line. And if Rooney's saying, well, I could have took you all off, he's like, well, thanks a bunch. You know, I actually put a real good shift in it.
Exactly,
and you're saying that it's me as well. Like, so I'll tell you what, maybe I won't bother next week. But with Mowbray, I think he keeps it in-house, doesn't he? And he'll take the flak on behalf of the players. But in private, I reckon he's telling them, like, you know, both barrels, like, and if you're not doing the job, you're out the door, like.
No, 100%, yeah.
And that's what I rate, like, and that's why I think, going on to another quick subject, we said about Chef Wednesdays after West Brom. Chef Wednesday is so winnable, because if you can get a win under Pooney, you can definitely get a win under Mowbray, I'm sorry. But if you can get one of your two wins under Wayne Rooney, there is no way on God's green earth you cannot go and win under a better manager. I'm sorry.
No, I completely agree with that, Joe. You got to remember, though, I mean, going away Sheffield Wednesday, on paper, it looks like an easy game.
And
when you're out on the pitch at Hillsborough, again, you know, you can see that in the cup. How did Maidstone go to Ipswich and get a win? Well, if the players really want it and the fans are there for you, it can be possible, can't it? So you've got to be really careful not to underestimate Sheffield Wednesday, really, to be fair.
The fear is if you lose to Sheffield Wednesday, I think we are shoulder watching at that point.
Yeah, I do. I think we are anyway. I really do. And I don't want to be like pessimistic, but I think we just need to be careful about like blind optimism. Oh, yeah, well, we'll win this and we'll start. It needs to be earned.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Right. I mean, I had the corner of my eye today on QPR versus Huddersfield.
Yeah.
And obviously they drew. I was like, okay, we'll take that.
Yeah, it's a good result. It's a good result for us, that is, isn't it, really?
And,
yeah.
And I mean, it's been a turmoil season in terms of managers and stuff like that. And it has, but. And I've said this for the last 8 years, but this time I genuinely say it with hand on heart, is get to the summer. Because this time, this board mean business, and you can see they mean business. It's going to be a big summer for us.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that.
The next 3 days could be. I think January transfer deadline day might be fun.
Yeah, I think all of those things, I absolutely agree with on all of those. I think the most interesting thing about that is that while we're in this sort of period of uncertainty, which we are, at the same time, you can't help but be really optimistic about the future.
I know.
Because things going on off the pitch, you just think, hang on a minute, this is going to be a brilliant ride, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's going to be fantastic. You know, the stuff that this week they came out with, biggest commercial deal in their club's history. You know, they're talking about a new fan park. You know, they've set up these strategy boards, haven't they, where you've got, they're going, you know, one of the boards is going to look at fan experience. They've got good people heading up those fan boards and stuff like that. You know, the club on every front seems to be making like real big strides forward. So as a supporter, you're thinking this is going to be great. Like, but at the same time, we've still got this looming kind of thing that's been hanging around us for like 12 years or whatever, where we've been absolutely abysmal. So yeah, it's just, it's hard to sort of get yourself out of that until we can get to the summer when I think, you know, next year, I think the whole thing will look completely different. I really do.
It takes time, doesn't it? When you've had owners as a wonderful previous owner. I mean, Mr. Stephen Knight even hinted at the other week, didn't he, Tommy, on our pod, when he turned around and said, I can't go into it, but the stuff they were trying to do on the way out, the like clauses, like, and these are the owners. Like, it takes time to get over that kind of stuff as a football club. There is no way you're walking in after 6 months and doing a whole shift. It's going to take
on the pitch. Yeah, it just couldn't. They just couldn't. Well, look at what they have done in 6 months. It's like amazing. Remarkable. You're remarkable. You know, both on and off the pitch, I think the things they're doing. But then their vision for the future about, reforming Birmingham and getting Birmingham part of things. You know, these are things that the club probably should have always been doing. Yeah. So for them to come in and identify it and then say, well, we're going to do this, you know, and that's what we're going to aim to do. Well, thank God, you know, it's about time, isn't it? You know, about time that a city with a, you know, and a football club that carries the name 100% should be involved in all of those things around Birmingham. No question about it.
Yeah. When was the last time we had an owner that went to Leicester away with the boys, walked into a pub, free barred it for everyone, and just went, on it, lads, go on.
Yeah. Go. Honestly, breath of fresh air, innit? The whole thing's amazing, that, isn't it?
Mm. And I know some people, I've seen a lot of other fans going, oh, well, it's just a commercial stunt, isn't it? I'm like, well, it's not, because I was there in Preston away as well, as you were. He was in there with the fans celebrating the goal and everything. Like, this man actually cares, and he looks like he actually wants to be part of this club. Like, he cares about this club, and he's there for us as well. And you can see that he's trying to get the fan experience like us to see what we're experiencing and see how he can make it better.
He's got a box making it too, though, isn't he? So he's invested in it.
Yeah, but I think beyond that, though, Tommy, I think the thing is for him, really, is that we've had an owner, if you think about it, or owners who have been like invisible almost to the point where the fans don't even know who they are. We've had protests on the street because the fact the owners are kind of invisible to everybody. And now you've got an owner who's not only the chairman of the board, but he's sat in with the fans, buying drinks, supporting the club. You know, that is just, is gold, isn't it? It's exactly what the fans want. You know, it's what the club needs. So, you know, hats off to Tom Wagner as that, because he could quite easily just sit behind the scenes or whatever. He's out there front and centre, and that's brilliant. I just think that's another massive step forward for the club. Yeah. Really.
They went about it the right way as well, just shortly touching back on the way that the BSHL tried to sell the club. I think what Stephen Knight was trying to allude to when we were in the conversation was the fact that when trying to sell the club, they wanted just a little bit more and a little bit more, but He touched on the fact that Knighthead obviously have done those things before. They deal in stressed businesses, so they know what to expect from companies who are trying to get the most out of things. But that's also why I think that the Paul Richardson deal was tougher for them to get over the line in the end. And also that Knighthead knew that just you're going to have to sit this one out. And as soon as they get in, they're going to put everything right and do the right things and really just, you know, boost the club. Because what I thought initially when they took over was the fact that they were just going to come in and be like, right, let's just ease our way into this. But like, nah, they were like straight in, put everything into the club and make sure that the ground is going to be done by December time and everything. And, you know, it's those little things really that just mean so much to fans really and improves match day experience. And looking into like that Blues Matter thing they put up, I mean, I was just sort of reading through it and everything, but it sort of matches the mood at the moment. You know, what do we need at this current stage in the season that will be good to release at this time, really? It's the fact that, you know, we need to have more updates about match day experiences, like, you know, Blues fans are helping out with stuff like that as well. So the timing on things business-wise, I think, has been great. It's only Rooney that I think they haven't quite got that one right. It was a learning curve for them.
You allowed one mistake.
Wrong timing, wrong choice, haven't they? I think they've gone for something they thought would help. But honestly, they're people of action, aren't they, really, at the end of the day? You know, they're not going to come in and say, let's sit around for another 6 years while we work. It's like, we want to do something, let's do it. And that's what they're pushing everybody. They're pushing every part of the club. They're trying to put pressure on them, you know, under challenge to say, we need to get this done. And they're doing the same on the outside, the same Birmingham Council. We want to do this. We want to build this. We want to go here. We want to do that. And everybody needs to get their act together a little bit. You know, if you're someone who's on the pitch, you know, if you're not up to the job, you've got to move on. You know, and that's what I admired about them the most with the Rooney thing, is they made a decision. It didn't work. And they've acted straight away, you know, yeah. And they've gone, because we haven't got time. We can't move at that speed. We need to be moving forward. And if Rooney's not the right choice, well, cheers, Wayne. See you later. Let's move on. And they've acted really quickly. And I think that should give everybody optimism again, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I think this is this thing. I think I might have gone over the top, to be fair, when I said Chef Wednesday is winnable. So I'll take. But that's in right. terms of what I'm saying is, I think that we are at a point where we do need to look at some winnable games as well.
Yeah, it's a good change in mentality, isn't it? I know somebody said in the comments earlier.
I haven't got the comments open, so I haven't even. No, yeah, Gary, I'm on my laptop. It will start destroying my laptop.
Well, what Gary says here, he says Blues should never go out thinking they will win easy. Well, I get that because Blues are like that, you know, and like we were yesterday, we should have easily won that game, had first half performances. Yeah. But also as well, like it, you know, if we were to go out into a game thinking we should be winning those games, you know, it's a good change in mentality, isn't it? And it's what we've been lacking for the whole existence of the club, really. We've always been oh, well, never mind.
It's just nice, isn't it? Like, in terms of we've spent so many years going to games where it's like, well, we'll cling on, we'll hopefully get a corner kick, and Juki might shit out it back corner. Yeah. Like, that's and we've gone from that kind of mentality to now going, no, let's get at them, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's an attitude, isn't it, Jay? I think you've got to say, well, actually, you know, we want to sort of like, we want to go and be a positive force everywhere we go. The best thing about this football club is the fans. No question about it, right? There's lots of things about this club that you could say actually over the years have not been great. But the fans, you can never dispute the fans. And I think they've plugged into that. They know they've got to take us with them. And part of that is you want to go and be entertained. You want to be able to have something to sing and cheer about, don't you?
Yeah. We never lost hope, did we? That's the thing. A lot of fans would have walked away and gone, we can't do this anymore. It's driving us insane. Whereas a lot of our fan base, even in the dark times that we've dealt with the last 10 years, consistently sold out away games. You know, so kudos to the fans like you two, like, who consistently go to them games and still deal with it. And I can't imagine how painful it must have been to vlog them games, Tommy. Oh my God.
Well, drive to them, you mean?
And you guys, but this is what I'm saying, like the guys who go to all the away games and stuff, like, you guys
it's a passion, isn't it, Jamie? It's about, that's what I'm saying. That's why the fans and the community and everything about that football club is like literally second to none. You know, I know you've had like a Black Country derby today, haven't you? And there's loads of animosity in that. But I don't think those two football clubs are a patch on us whatsoever. I don't think they've got anything about them that resembles what we've got. I think we're unique in that way. Mm. You know, and the fact we've had so little to actually be entertained or excited about over the years is even more kudos to everybody for going to the game still. So it's a love affair, isn't it? It's a lifelong love affair being a Birmingham City fan, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, that was deafening yesterday at Leicester. They were 3-0 up and we still outsang them. Like, it was deafening. 5,000 fans.
And that's the team who's won the Premier League, the FA Cup, and the Community Shield in the last 5 years. Well,
and quarterfinal Champions League as well. Like, they were a great this one.
But every club's had something to sing about, haven't they, in recent years? We've had absolutely nothing. And yet people consistently keep on turning up, don't they? It's absolutely brilliant, like, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, it really is. I think
Well, I just think, you know, with some optimism for the things that are coming as well, you know, the club could go, like, you know, really, really in really great places. And I don't know if we're prepared for it because we're so in the old mindset still, aren't we? We're still complaining about things that have gone on before. So, you know, somebody moaning about the queues at the catering or whatever. And it's like, yeah, look, you know, every club and every business you go to, if you go to Nando's on a Friday night, people moan about the queues or something, don't they? It's like you're always going to get those things, but they're like small for a while. It's the big picture. Where are we going? Mm. How do we get on board with that? That's what you want to look at. Where are they trying to take us to?
We didn't even have hot water in there last year. So, you know, get what you get. Like, come on. Like,
everything was broken. Everything probably is still broken. They couldn't even employ enough staff to, you know, to man the kiosks or whatever and get the ticket thing.
How Birmingham City has this takeover been in terms of, we got most of the ground done, then the company went bust that were doing the ground as well.
Exactly. You do wonder if someone's sitting up there, don't you, sort of playing with us a little bit. You say, let's give them a little bit of some
desk. Just like, should have a bit of fun with this, lads.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll get the ground fixed and halfway through, we'll make the company go bust. Oh, there we go. That'll piss them off a bit more.
I mean, half of
beyond the joking.
I mean, last year, I just wanted a bloody bother watching the game sometimes, and that was painful to get to, aren't they? Like,
oh, gotcha. No, we need to be optimistic, and it's hard, isn't it, for a fan base that's been so downtrodden.
Yeah.
To actually feel optimistic about something. And yesterday I was back in my old mindset because I was thinking, I felt really hurt by losing in the cup. But then I thought, well, I need to kind of shake myself out of that a little bit because there's good times coming. And I think you're right, Jamie. I think there are good times coming. So,
And me. I've been saying this.
Did you say that as well?
Yeah, I've been saying this all fucking year, honestly.
Yeah, true. Yeah. No, you haven't.
No, what do you mean when? I'm always talking about it. It's Mr. Zach Woods that's always sitting on the fence. Well, fellas, I'm going to go for a 0-0 today. I think we're going to... I love you, Zach, really. Don't say it. But... yeah, I think that's a good roundup. We'll just finish with West Brom predictions. So, Jamie, kick us off. Come on, say we're going to win.
I mean, I always say we're going to win. This is my problem, isn't it? I can't go on a live Birmingham City thing and say we're not going to win, or I'll probably say we'll draw, but I've not once predicted we're going to lose. And I think genuinely we've got such a good record usually against the Albion. I think form doesn't really matter in a derby game either. Form doesn't matter, and we all know that. So why there's a good chance we can go there, and I think 2-1, 2-0. I think we can go there, and we can. I mean, my fear is no Sanderson. And if Laird can do the 90 minutes, I am very confident. If Buchanan and Laird are fit, we've got this. And I think we have. We've got a good chance because Buchanan is so solid as well.
We've just got to take the lead in that game, I think. We can't be like going a goal down and then trying to fight back into the game, because Ethan Laird won't last 90 minutes. I'm pretty sure about that. And as soon as he goes off, then game over, isn't it, really? I think down that right-hand side particularly. Down the left-hand side, I think we're quite strong with Buchanan and Dembele and everybody. And then you go forward into Stansfield. But on the right, I ain't too sure we got that many natural right-wingers or anything.
And I think...
Sam in the comments just said, he said Hogan hat-trick. So
I'd love that. I'd love Hogan
hat-trick 2.0.
In all fairness to him, I'll give him credit, because that Swansea game when he started... That looked like the old Hogan that we wanted back.
Yeah,
like,
you just,
I don't. If you're not scoring all the goals, that's fine, Scott. But just run and press the defence like you did. That's great. Especially against a West Brom team, he could be really effective. Him and Stansfield could cause problems. I mean, he's definitely not going to start him, but...
No. He can score goals, though, Hogan, can't he? He can.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not prolific. He just needs one. He's not a prolific striker. But if you put him in front of goal, I think if he'd have started yesterday, some of those chances, he probably would have scored a couple of those. I'm honest. I think that. I'm not his greatest fan, but I've gone a bit full circle on him, where I wasn't very keen on him. And now I feel like, well, actually, given the right service, he might score a few goals here and there. Mm. But I think if you're going to go prediction for me, I think, like I said earlier, I think if you get something out of the game, play well, get something out of the game, I'd be happy with that. I would. Good performance and something from it. I just don't think we can go there and get beat. So if we come away with a draw, I'd be happy with that. I wish I could predict the future, though. That would be much better. I'd come back and tell you, then, couldn't I, like you did against Stoke?
I did that against Stoke, yeah. I got in my little time machine, went into the future. I knew we were going to win. I absolutely knew we were going to win that game, because it's written in the stars to win those type of games. I'm going to go with... I haven't been to the future just yet, but I might tell you.
Come on.
I've been busy, all right. I've not been in the time machine.
If you use the time machine, you wouldn't be that busy, would you?
Good point, actually. Maybe I don't have a time machine. I agree with you, actually, Jamie. I think a 2-1 is possible. I think it will go 1-0 Blues, 1-1, and then 2-1. And I think we'll get it fairly late on.
In an ideal world, you go 1-0 up against the Albion, you hold out 90th minute, you have a shithouse counter-attack, and Oliver Burke taps it in for 2.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I might go and put a tenner on Ollie Burke any time against the Albion.
That's a good shout, actually.
Just because I'm sure the odds are.
I'd love to win there. I love winning there. I don't know what it is about winning there. I think probably because I always think they're a bit tin pot that I quite like. So I like the idea. I've been there many times. We won 1-0 there in about 1991 and away game. I think Kevin Drinkle scored at the far end in the Birmingham Road end. I just remember standing on the metal railings at the end on the Smethwick Road end, standing on the right and just giving it that. And that I just loved winning there. I don't know what it is. Just something about West Brom or winning there that I really enjoyed. So, yeah, I'd absolutely love it if we win there. I really would.
I think I think it's just going to be, I think it's going to be a very end-to-end game as well. I think there's going to be, when I don't think we're going to set up to sit back. I think it's just going to be a case of the high press football again. And they love to play a high line from what I saw today as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just going to be both teams just going to meet slap in the middle. It's whose midfielder performs the best, really, is what it comes down
definitely
to.
Definitely bring it on. Can just before we sort of finish up then, can you just say, can you just really briefly just touch on the women's team winning against
that? Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
Because, you know, talk about the club, right? I think they're a really important part of the club. Well, for anyway, but I think the owners really do think that's a big part of that. American sport, you know, women's sport is a big thing. And I think they really see them getting back into the Women's Super League as a good priority. So the fact they want to get to that, I think that's a really, so big up to them, really. And Tom Wagner was there. You know, again, we say he was at the game, Preston, he was there against Leicester. But he was there in the women's game today as well. So, you know, fair play to him on all of those things because all that profile. And if that women's team that has always been a really good women's team, by the way, we've been in Champions League, so I think we've won FA Cups. If they can get the women's team back into the Women's Super League, I think that's another sort of step in the right direction for the club. So I don't think we should forget about that sometimes. I think we do focus, obviously, clearly we'll always focus on the first team at Wofford, won't we? But it's another real major step forward because that women's team's been on its arse like for years and the lack of investment. So good on them for sorting that and making it a priority as well. So, yeah, I think we're all behind that. We've been to both FA Cup finals, didn't we, Tommy, for the women's? We went to the one when they beat Chelsea. No, Arsenal, Bristol City.
They beat Chelsea at Bristol City at Ashton Gate and they lost to Man City at Wembley,
Yeah, and we went to that as well, didn't we?
Yeah,
so it'd be great to see the women's team coming back and having some success that this year. So, I think, and good on the owners for prioritising it, in my opinion. So, just wanted to make sure that got a chance out as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's something that obviously is growing in popularity as well. So we might be bringing more of that stuff to the channel. We have been doing some articles on it lately. Ellie's been doing a fantastic job. And obviously she's got a role at the club now as well, helping out with that Blues Matter stuff. So that's great for her as well. But we'll try and bring you some video content if that's of interest to people. Let us know.
We're going to do a vlog. Should we do a vlog at the women's game and go in the Alliance or something?
We should maybe do something like that sometime soon.
I'll join you for that.
Yeah,
that sounds like a plan, that does, yeah? We're going to do a vlog at the
women's game. I'm only in if Jack comes along.
We've got to behave ourselves if we're going to the women's game. It's a different atmosphere to the men's.
Right, you make that as if I'm a horrendous human being. Like, I am a nice person.
You are.
It's Jack who's the terrible human being.
I think Jack's only a terrible human being between 3 o'clock and 4:45.
Yeah, he's nice.
Any other time, he's the sweetest, nicest guy ever met. But when the game's on, he just becomes like, he just loses his mind, I think.
Oh, God. Funny. Yeah, well, that's wrapped up quite nicely, actually. We'll try and get down to a women's game then and vlog that. Thank you guys for listening to this new episode of the Blues Focus podcast. Again, we're going to be doing these more consistently now. This is our second consistent episode. It was just after the Stephen Knight stuff, really. We were preparing for that for quite a while, so that was like took priority for a bit, but we're going to be getting back to the regular podcasting, but we are still on the lookout for a next big podcast guest, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Maybe in a couple of months we might have a new big guest coming on.
That would be great, Tommy, yes.
Thank you guys for watching. Thank you, Jamie and Dad. I'll be down for tea in a second for joining me.
Are you making it?
Mum's already made it. What are you talking about? Thank you guys for watching and keep rolling.
Get around, lads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.